Well, this is week two, and if this is your first time with us in Multiply, maybe you missed last Sunday, weren't able to be here, or you were here and didn't receive a Multiply book, we want you to raise your hand. Our staff's coming forward, our usher's coming forward. We have Multiply books available to you, 107 pages of inspiration. So if you didn't get a book yet, please raise your hand. Remember, our primary goal of Multiply is 100% participation. I'm going to ask Pastor Eliel, our new Spanish pastor, to come grab our Spanish editions. If you need a Spanish edition, prefer to have that, if you'll just raise two hands and wave them so that Pastor Eliel can get you the Spanish edition. We're so excited that you're here. This is going to be an amazing journey, and we don't want you to miss it. So we're thankful that you're here. It's going to be a great day as we walk with God together and dive into His Word here in just a moment. Now, what is next Sunday at 1:30? Okay, that was way too slow. What is next Sunday at 1:30? Groundbreaking. It's our North Klein groundbreaking ceremony, and you will not want to miss it. We'll have a normal schedule here on Sunday morning, and then at 1:30, we'll meet at our new property, our 45 acres, and have an amazing service there, a big balloon release, or not big balloon, but a big release of many balloons with prayer cards on them. We're going to saturate our community, and wherever those balloons fly, those people know you have been prayed for, and we'll see what happens with that. Now, very important that next Sunday you park near Zwink Elementary. If you say, well, where are we going? Just put in Zwink Elementary in your GPS, and you can park at Zwink or near Zwink. We have policemen who are going to stop traffic to let you cross Spring Steubner to come onto our property. If you serve on the blue crew, you're going to be here with me tearing down, and then we're going to meet over there right at 1:30, and we're going to have a food tray for our blue crew. The rest of you can, right after service, go to lunch and then meet us over there at our property. So it's going to be a tremendous day that I'm very, very excited about. We've waited a long time for that moment. Then Tellepson is going to move on to the property to start construction. And they've shared that within 13 months of their start, we'll move into our new building. So I'm praying that God to give us favor in that, that we'll be in our new building by Easter of 2019. Come on, what do you say? Isn't that awesome? So that's going to be a lot of fun. I guess that's what I'm supposed to do. I don't know. It looks good. All right. If you'll join me now in your workbook here on page 70, that's where I want you to take notes. In your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 13. So page 70 in your notes, and then on in your Bible, go to Genesis chapter 13, and we're going to dive in there. Would you join me for prayer? Lord, we're so excited about our community ministry center, that we'll get to continue to meet practical needs in a very personal way and be the hands and feet of Jesus. Lord, we're excited about our new campus that you have blessed us with and look forward to our groundbreaking next Sunday. And Lord, I pray that you'll do a special work in us this morning as we dive into your word, as you have invited us into this multiplied journey. Continue to show us, Lord, what you want to do in us personally, what you want to rearrange, what you want to adjust, what you want to eliminate, to bring us into alignment with your purpose and plan. God, I praise you for what you're doing. We're excited about what you're going to do. And we just pray that you'll open the floodgates of heaven and that you'll just pour out your abundance, God, as you speak truth into our lives. I pray that you'll give us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to be responsive to your word. We pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Perhaps you know that today is Super Bowl Sunday. In fact, it's Super Bowl 52. And I know the Texans are not in, but we're still going to enjoy the game because today the Patriots versus the Eagles will demonstrate the best of the best. What makes it so special is that these athletes from really as preschoolers and elementary and middle school and high school and college all the way into the NFL, they have so structured their lives as to focus on becoming the best of the best. They also understand that it took much provision to get them where they are. That's why very emotionally you'll often hear them talk about a grandmother, a grandfather, a mom, or a dad who has invested in their lives, or a coach who has a sacrifice to be a blessing to them. You'll hear them talk about the rigorous discipline of fitness and eating healthy and studying the game films and all that they do to become the best of the best. So today we get to see elite athletes perform. And a part of me wants to ask, how many of you are pulling for the Eagles? Okay, one, two, three, several of you. Okay, how many of you are pulling for the Patriots with your head? Okay, so it ought to be an interesting day. I didn't want to divide the church or split the church this morning, but it will be interesting. We're not going to let the Super Bowl divide us. But what I want you to remember is the athletes on the field have paid a price to become the best of the best. Bring that into the kingdom economy. Bring that into the church of the living God. Here's a phrase I want you to write down. Very important. Model what you want to multiply because you will multiply what you model. Model what you want to multiply because you will multiply what you model. And God wants us to be sold out the whole route, children of God. He wants us to leave nothing on the field, but to surrender everything to His lordship and leadership and to give Him our best. So I want to talk about that this morning by giving you three essentials to becoming a model for God to multiply. A model for God to multiply. Here's essential number one, if you'll write it in your notes. Model being fully surrendered to God's plan. That's where it starts. Being fully surrendered to God's plan. So proud of our students as they embraced Freedom Weekend and just allowed God to do a special work in their lives to mold them and shape them and to continue to build them into the people of God He's created them to be. I'm proud of our students. I thank God for their bright yellow shirts this morning as they shine for Jesus and try to stay awake. So thankful that they're on mission with God. But for every one of us this morning, to become a model for God to multiply, it all starts with full surrender to God's plan. Many of you who've walked with me for several years now know that I wake up every morning and I begin on my knees in my study with the word PACE, P-A-C-E, and I pray this every morning, first thing on my knees, Lord, I praise You. I accept Your acceptance of me. I surrender to Your control, and I expect great things to happen today. And I want to challenge us as a church family to fully surrender to God's plan. Now, Abram, who later becomes in chapter 17, Abram is our mascot for multiply. He's our mascot for being fully surrendered to God's plan. And we learned this last Sunday in Genesis 12, where God said to Abram, leave and go to a land I will show you. Abram, I want you to leave your comfort zone, what is familiar to you. I want you to release that, and I want you to go. And He didn't give him specific directions on where he was going. He didn't give him a British navigation system that would articulate every turn along the way. Instead, He said, leave and go to a land I will show you. And the phrase we learned last week is, as you obey, God will show you the way. As you obey, God will show you the way. And I love verse 4 of chapter 12. So Abram went as the Lord told him. He just went as the Lord told him. He fully surrendered to God's plan. So here's the question for us this morning. Are you willing to fully surrender to God's plan and become a model for God to multiply? Are you willing to do that? All I'm asking you to do is what I asked you to do last Sunday morning, is to place your yes on the altar, which means you just say, Lord, I'm Yours. Wherever, whenever, whatever you want, God, I'm Yours. Place your yes on the altar. But then remember, leave room for mystery. Leave room for mystery. There's some things God wants to do in us and through us that He wants to surprise us with along the way. Some of us like to know where we're going. We want to know what's around the corner because it gives us security. But God wants to know, do you trust me? Will you walk with me? Will you trust me with the unknown? Here's essential number two. Ready for it? Say amen. Model being fully dependent upon God's providence. Be fully dependent upon God's providence. Trust in the hand of God. Trust in the provision of God. That God will always provide where He guides. When God calls you, God equips you. God will give you everything you need to obey His plan. Now we pick up in Genesis 13. Look in the Bible with me. Verse 1. So Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the Negev. Now Abram was very rich in livestock and silver and in gold. And he journeyed. Key phrase there, remember, this is a journey, not a destination. We leave room for mystery. And as he journeyed on from the Negev, as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place where he had made an altar at the first. Now notice this phrase, and there Abram called upon the name of the Lord. That is a major spiritual marker. In verse 5, and Lot, his nephew, who went with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents, so that the land could not support both of them dwelling together. For their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife, tension, friction between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. At that time, the Canaanites and the Perizzites were dwelling in the land. Here's the picture. They could no longer coexist. Their families had grown. Their flocks had grown. All that they owned had grown. They couldn't coexist. It was too much. So as a result, they had to part ways. Now notice verse 8. So Abram said to Lot, notice how he takes the initiative. Let there be no strife between you and me, between your herdsmen and my herdsmen, for we are kinsmen. Listen, we're family. Let's not let this come between us. Let's just go our separate ways. Let there be no strife between you and me, and between your herdsmen and my herdsmen, for we're kinsmen. Is not the whole land before you? Separate yourself from me. Now, Abram's about to give Lot first option, first choice. Don't miss this. If you take the left hand, I will go to the right. Or if you take the right hand, then I'll go to the left. Now, is Abram being passive? Is he being weak? Is he being a pushover? Or is Abram fully relying upon the providence of God? I want you to dial in on that. Notice what happens, verse 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw that the Jordan Valley was well watered everywhere, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt in the direction of Zoar. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Verse 11, so Lot chose for himself. Here's a portrait of selfishness, self-absorption, narcissism, not thinking of how his decision may affect others, not showing respect for his elder Abram, Uncle Abram. Instead, Lot chose for himself all the Jordan Valley, and Lot journeyed east. Thus, they separated from each other. Verse 12, Abram settled in the land of Canaan, while Lot settled among the cities of the valley and moved his tent as far as Sodom. Now, the men of Sodom were wicked, great sinners against the Lord. So, Lot moves next to Sin City. So he's not thinking about what's best for his family. He's not thinking about what's best for his future. He's setting himself up for failure. Verse 14, the Lord said to Abram, God's speaking. I love this. God's timing is always perfect. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward. And God's speaking to Abram now, for all the land you see, I will give to you and to your offspring forever. Now, wait a minute. Abram and Sarai are childless. She's barren. They've been unable to have children. And God reaffirms his promise to Abram that the land you see, I'll give to you and to your offspring. Now, here's what I want you to notice. God affirms and confirms his timing and his direction. Maybe you're going through a season of uncertainty right now. Maybe for you, you're going through a season of transition and you're wondering, God, are you in this? God, are you going to provide for us? You've got to leave room for mystery. You've got to trust that God's got your back, that God is for you. Even if those around you make a poor decision like Lot did. Lot was so selfish. Instead of saying, no, Abram, you're my elder. You got the promise from God. You choose. Instead, Abram let Lot choose. And I want to say to you this morning, even when those around you make poor decisions, God can still handle your future. God still has your back. God can get them where he wants them, and God will get you where he wants you. The question is, will you trust him? Will you surrender to him? Will you fully be dependent upon his providence? Trusting God includes trusting God with the unknown. Some of you are very nervous about this Multiply commitment card, because you're wondering, how am I going to give to Multiply? We're barely making it. How am I going to make a commitment in 1 month to Multiply? How am I going to do this? In fact, how am I going to make a 2-year commitment? I don't even know where I'm going to be in 2 years. I don't know what my life's going to look like in 2 years. Well, let me ask you a question. Have you ever bought a car? Have you ever financed a car? And you go into that business office and they say, do you want to finance for 36 months, 48 months, 60 months? Now, 72 months, I saw a truck commercial. You can finance a truck for 84 months and pray that it will just last that long. And you have no idea where you're going to be in 36 months or 48 months or 60 months or 72 months, but you sign on the dotted line. And in fact, we can take a break right now. Let's go out in the parking lot and see if there are any cars out there. We've committed to it, right? Have you ever gone to purchase a home and you go into the loan officer's office and there's a 20-year mortgage or a 30-year mortgage and you say to them, you know what? We don't know where we're going to be in 20 years. We don't know what life's going to look like in 10. How are we going to commit to a 30-year mortgage? And you step out of it. No, you step into it. You go rent an apartment. They say, you got to lease it for a year. And you say to them, well, I don't know what I'm going to be doing in a year. I don't know if I'm going to make. We just moved here. How do we know? But what do? You commit. Why? Because you value living under roof. You value having a vehicle to drive. So you make the commitment. You may not know where you're going to be in 2 years, but God knows. And God knows where you're going to be in 2 minutes, in 20 minutes, in 2 days, in 2 weeks, in 2 months. God knows. So the question is, will you trust the providence of God? If you'll write this down, you make room for what you value. You make room for what you value. And whatever God gives to us is meant to be multiplied through us. What God has blessed you with, what God has blessed me with, is to be multiplied through us. So what are you doing with the seed God has provided? Don't consume it, sow it. Don't consume it, sow it. And watch God multiply. Whenever you go in to purchase that home and you look at your spouse and say, this is too much house for us. If we sign on the dotted line, times 40, if we sign our name in all these pages, if we buy this home, though we know it's too much house for us, if we buy this home, something has to change. And you just make the commitment. If we send our child to that college, if we send him there, if we send her to this college, if we make that commitment to send them out of state, pay out of state tuition, if we make this commitment, something in our life has to change. You make room for what you value. You make room for what you value. And when you look at our multiply commitment, coming up in 1 month, and we make this bold commitment to the Lord for 2 years. And if it's a God-sized gift that we're willing to give over 2 years, then something in our life's got to change. Right? That we can't live the way we have been living and expect God to do something different. Something in our life must change. I wrote this down this week, see if it'll minister to you. In order to be more generous and come in alignment with the heartbeat of God, I need to adjust my lifestyle, my standard of living, and create more margin in order to be more generous. As Tanya and I have committed to our multiply gift and what we believe God wants us to give, I got on my computer and created an Excel spreadsheet and took all of our bills, the money that is allocated, and I just listed our bills in descending order, from highest to lowest. Of course, mortgage is at the top, way up there, right? You think about the other bills that we have to pay. And if you have 4 iPhones you're paying for, it's almost like paying a mortgage. Cars, insurance. And as I was looking at that descending list, the Spirit of God was so working in me because my challenge is, God, where are you in this? Where's multiplying this? Is it down low? Is it in the middle? Is it up high? Is it number one? Am I really going to give you what's first and what's best? Am I really willing to commit to make you number one in my life and make you first and best? Then some things are going to have to change. And one item that just kept jumping off of the screen, just one, there's many, but just one was like, wow, we spent a lot of money on cable television to get 400 channels, and we only watch 3, Golf Channel, NFL, and ESPN. I mean, who needs the Hallmark Channel? Oh, you got to keep that one to stay married. That's right. I'm sorry. We better keep that one. Don't get rid of Hallmark Channel. Something that deeply touched me when I married into Tanya's family is meeting her mama and papa Brunson. And just watching their standard of living. And God has so blessed them, and they've been such a major blessing in sowing into ministry. And her papa passed away, went to heaven less than a year ago. But just watching their lives over our 27-year marriage, me being in their family, what I noticed about Mama and Papa Brunson is they limited their level of living so they could expand their level of giving. What they were modeling before us was creating margin to be a blessing and benefit to other people. So they limited their lifestyle. Like, they had money. They could have lived in a much bigger home. I mean, they could have gone all out. They could have lived at a much higher level, but they chose to limit their standard of living so they could expand their standard of giving. And they modeled that generosity and have been so faithfully. So the question is not, how much do I have to give? It's, why am I not willing to give more? What am I withholding? What am I keeping from making God first and best? Cain and Abel had this tension in Genesis 4, where Cain's idea was, I'm going to wait to the end of the harvest and see what it looks like, then I'm going to give. Whereas Abel gave first fruits, trusting God to provide the rest. He gave God the best and trusted God to provide the rest. So you have Cain versus Abel. And the offering that God received was the one from Abel, because it was a first fruits offering that honored God and demonstrated trust in his providence. I love this quote from Andy Stanley. See if it'll minister to you. Order your world around your Heavenly Father's priorities and then trust him to fill in the gaps created by your faithfulness. Isn't that rich? That one sentence so ministered to my heart. Order your world around your Heavenly Father's priorities and trust him to fill in the gaps created by your faithfulness. And we see this so beautifully in one of our widows here at Champion Force, Nancy LeBeau. I want you to hear her story.
When we made the decision that that was going to be our new church home, the one thing that stood out to me so strongly was the spirit of fellowship that was there. There was no question that that was a warm, inviting spot. The Lord has strengthened me in so many ways, but one particular way is that he gives you the strength, the courage, the stamina, whatever you want to call it, to be able to endure whatever comes along, good or bad. And there have been some great times and there have been some very trying times. Seeing how Champion Forest undergirds and supports, hugs, and just assures you that they're with you when you have lost the love of your life. Living life for yourself is never going to come out at the level or the standard at the bar of living for Christ. No way. You're going to be cheated of wonderful blessings. You're going to be cheated of experiencing with others the accomplishment that comes from giving. Giving time, energy, or money. You're just cheated of so many blessings. Thank you. There's just absolutely no way that you can outdo, outgive, surpass what the Lord has already given you. There's just no way. So that little bit of whatever amount that on a widow's budget, yes, there's just no question. You give back. As you are making out your budget, you start at the start point. The starting point is what I give to the Lord. Looking to the future with a vision of multiplying all of the efforts of this total community church and putting it together, it will be a blessing that we'll never be able to really comprehend.
On your note page, I want you to draw a heart, if you would. Draw a heart. As we were so deeply touched by Nancy LeBeau's testimony of God's faithfulness, I want you to draw a heart, and I want you to, under your heart, just write, God wants all of my heart. God wants all of my heart. And my question this morning is, what is keeping you from giving God all of your heart? Jesus said, for where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. What is keeping you from giving the Lord all of your heart? And the other question I have is, what adjustments do I need to make to put God first and to give God best? What is keeping me from putting God first and giving God best? And I want to challenge each of us to let God search our heart and to let God make adjustments in our lives so that we can come into alignment and fully commit to God's priorities. What needs to be adjusted in your life? What needs to be adjusted in your lifestyle? Because ultimately, it's a heart issue. It's, God, do you have all of me? Am I fully surrendered to your plan? Am I fully dependent upon your provision? And am I fully committed to your priorities? Am I going to value what God values so that I can become a model for God to multiply?
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.